the name of Jesus, two options. Number one, the path of the wicked. That's from Proverbs. And a corollary or another definition of that would come to us from Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, the desires of the flesh. So first option, path of the wicked, desires of the flesh. Second option, the path of the righteous, or the things of the Spirit. So which is it? If you were to put the two of them on a set of balance scales, which one do you think would be the more important of the two? The things of this world, of the flesh, or the things of the Spirit? I would submit to you that part of our daily struggle as Christians is where that balance scale is swinging. You have the desires of the flesh over on one side, the things that we want to do, the things that we feel we need, the things that we feel inclined to. And in our culture today, that's exactly what you are told over and over again. Follow your heart. Follow your mind. Follow that which you want, that which makes you feel good. And as long as you do that, be true to yourself, nobody can tell you otherwise. But yet, over and opposed to you and me, the desires of our flesh, is what God has to say, are the things of the Spirit, or you could say, the path of righteousness. Which way do you walk? Between the two? Sometimes over in this one, sometimes in that one. Our gospel text for today paints a beautiful picture because here comes Jesus passing along between Samaria and Galilee. Geographically, Jesus is walking that line between the two. One side you have the Jews, staunch establishments of those who have followed and worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem. And on the other side, well, they're all half-breeds. They're those whose parents, whose forefathers at some point turned away, mingled in, married people that did not have faith. But yet some might still. But here comes Jesus, walking right through the middle of those whom he has come to rescue first, as Scripture says. Do you remember what Jesus said? I came first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. The Samaritans are Gentiles, much like you and me. I doubt any of us could legitimately and completely accurately trace our lineage all the way back through the Jewish nation. But that's not important, because here comes Christ, and he walks between these two different balance scales, and as he's walking, he enters a village, and he's met there by 10 lepers who stand at a distance. Now keep in mind, leprosy back then, no cure. The only thing they could do when somebody came down with leprosy, and mind you, it affected all ages. Didn't matter social class, color of your skin, what your beliefs were. Leprosy affected all sorts of people. And here we have 10 lepers who are standing at a distance, which they're required to do. You see, when you would become a leper back in Jesus' time, you would be completely removed from your family, your goods, your possession, your job. You could think of it, if you will, almost like a concentration camp. Maybe that's too harsh, but that's what they did. Completely removed from family, job, vocation, all of the things that they had. Doesn't matter what they had purchased, what land they owned. They were removed and put in a camp in an area just for lepers, and they weren't allowed to go by anybody else. All they could do was stand at a distance. Want to talk with your family? You're going to have to yell, probably across a football field. They have no hope. But here comes Jesus, walking along, as he's come to do. For your Heavenly Father has sent Jesus to do just this, to walk a mile in your shoes, as it were, has come to experience the difficult things of this life, the difficult effects of sin, which ultimately mean physical death. And as Jesus is walking along, these 10 lepers lift up their voices. Literally in Greek here, they are yelling at Jesus. And they have to. Because as far as they know, it's the only way they can be heard. The text tells us that Jesus sees them. It doesn't say that he hears them. And see, sometimes we fall into that trap too. We think the louder we pray or the more we pray, perhaps we can sway God's opinion. But God sees all. Your Father knows where you stand in the balance scales each and every day. He knows when you choose to satisfy the desires of your flesh, even when they're in stark contradiction to that which God would have you do. He sees. Whether you lift up your voice or not. And when Jesus sees them, he does something that might blow your mind just a little bit if you've paid attention over the course of the church year. You might remember another reading that we have from Scripture where they bring to Jesus a paralytic. You remember that story? They bring to Jesus this paralyzed man. He can't move, he can't walk, he can't do anything. He's just lying there on a bed. And as soon as they bring him to Jesus, do you remember what he does? He says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." The first thing Jesus does with the paralytic is to forgive his sins. But here we have 10 lepers standing at a distance, and you might expect that Jesus would simply say, "I forgive you." But that's not the first thing Jesus says, is it? Now, this doesn't mean that Scripture is inaccurate. Rather, this tells us more, how much more, your Heavenly Father, your Lord and Savior, actually cares about your physical life here. Because what Jesus says to them has to do with the things of this life. Jesus says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." No friendly greeting. "Hey, how you doing? Did you enjoy the football game yesterday? Need some food and water over there?" Simple command. Go and show yourselves to the priests. Now that may not seem like much to some of you, but for them to go and show themselves to the priests meant that they were healed. For them to go and show themselves to the priests, this was the only way back to their families, to their jobs, their only way back to life as they had known it at one point. The only way back was to be cured of leprosy and then have everything set right by the priests. That was the law. And of course, we're told as they went, which meant now that they had faith in Jesus' words. These are, after all, 10 lepers who raised up their voices just as you and I did earlier when we prayed in the Kyrie, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy." Those are their words of faith as well. They are the words of all generations of those who have faith, who trust that Jesus has come to walk in this life for you, has come to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. What beautiful words of faith. And so they go. But then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. We don't know about the other 9. We don't know whether they were Jews or Samaritans. Scripture doesn't tell us, but this one is a half-breed, like you and me. And now we're back to the question of the scale, if you will. We're back to the path of righteousness or the path of the things of this earth. You see, you could say this, that waiting for this one Samaritan leper who was now no longer a leper, waiting for him walking that way was everything that he missed, everything that he wanted in this life. But turning back this way to Jesus was something completely different. Which did he choose? Which do you choose from time to time? Are the things of this life, the things of our flesh, more important than the things of God? And I would dare say all of us here, including me, could nod our heads and say, yeah, I've been selfish. I've been focused on how I feel, on what I want. I've been focused on things of this life, money, goods, possessions. And Lord, I haven't chosen to do what this leper did, who turned around to make you number one. The first commandment from the catechism is so clear. You know what it is? You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in Trump above all things. My bank account above all things. My car above all things. My kitchen. I mean, the list goes on and on, but you see the challenge for us. Our fear, love, and trust so often has nothing to do with God and His holy word, but rather has everything to do with this balance scale over here, the things of this life. And that's where we as Christians need to be exhorted and admonished to do exactly what this leper did, to return and give thanks to God, to show ourselves now before God, which is part of why we come to church, to show ourselves, not that anything in my hand I bring, but simply to thy cross I cling, that we would come and show ourselves to be the lepers and sinners that we are, and that he in turn can do his good work of covering you with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, shed for you upon Calvary's hill, where you are reminded and connected to the waters of holy baptism, where you are fed with his body and blood that will sustain you when you walk all these different places. He comes and he speaks his mighty, powerful word, the same word that created everything and brought it to existence. He comes and tells you you're forgiven. And he comes and tells you as the lessons are read and as the word is preached to you. And then he says, go, rise, and go your way. Faith now has made you well. He sends you and I out to walk in this life, sometimes back and forth, but by the power of the Holy Spirit to repent, to recognize where we fail, and to go and help those who are in need. To be good Samaritans as the one true good Samaritan has rescued us. To live in this life. To yet enjoy the gifts that he gives of house, home, land, animals, all that I have. There's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing wrong with having those things in this life that might even bring you joy. But what place do they have before God? And what place do they have in your life? Such are the questions and the wonderful gift of absolution that our Lord gives to us today. That before our Father in heaven, our eternal home, he has set all things right. Thanks be to God for his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And may they dwell in our hearts and on our minds as we come and give thanks to him receiving these gifts and thus go forth and live in this life, even serving our neighbor. In the name of Jesus, amen.